Open our Bibles to Psalm 119 and verse 117. Psalm 119, verse 117. Psalm written by David. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And in verse 117, David says, "Uphold me that I may be safe, that I may have regard, that I may have regard for thy statutes continually." This is a continuation of David's prayer. He's praying for help. It's a time of need. And he's going to the source of that help that he needs. You know, from the cradle to the grave, we are in constant need. Water, air, food, safety, clothing. It's endless. As infants, we need someone to feed us and change our diaper. But that's just the beginning of an increasing amount of needs that each of us have faced or will face in our lifetime. I believe it would probably be an understatement to say that we are desperately needy souls. David expresses some of his needs in the form of prayer. And the need that he expresses here is the need to be upheld and that he might be kept safe. Look at our text again. Uphold me that I may be safe. We've commented frequently in this series that David was a man of warfare. He knew what it was often to be in the position of imminent danger. Don't know how many of you have ever been in a place of danger. There are varying degrees of danger, some more serious than others. But it certainly is not a good feeling when you realize that you are in a place of danger, perhaps that of physical harm, perhaps of even the loss of life. So this is an urgent need. But I want us to notice and focus on the fact that David has come to grips with a sobering reality that God and God alone is the only source of his help. His prayer is directed to God, to all that God is, to all that God is as manifested in his attributes. God is eternal. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is holy. God is just. God is all wise. But there's an attribute that I purposely put last, and it is this. He is sovereign. Wait a minute, let me go back and correct that. He is absolutely sovereign. And that qualifies his sovereignty. By using the word absolute, what are we saying? What changes when we use that word, when we refer to God's attribute of sovereignty? By absolute, dear people, we mean that God is free from any restriction or limitation whatsoever. Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" We know the answer. Not because he's sovereign, but because he's absolutely sovereign. He rules and he reigns over all. As Nicodemus walked along a dark pathway, on that night that he had his encounter with Christ, we know who was in control of every footstep and the timing and the situation, all prearranged and brought about by God. God was at work in the heart and life of a man who needed Christ. And you know, it's interesting that while Nicodemus came by night, and we can surmise why, at the time of Christ's death and burial, Nicodemus was there. Well, the wedding at Cana of Galilee, guess why they run out of wine? God was at work. An absolutely sovereign God planned it, carried it out for an eternal purpose, right down to the nth degree of how much wine was on hand and how many guests were there and how thirsty they were. All of that, every little detail of it, in control. I say that because I want you to grasp the idea, the truth, that God is absolutely sovereign. Our brother Michael walked into the bookstore how many years ago?
14 years ago.
Young man, looking for a bilingual Bible. And I asked the question, why do you want a bilingual Bible? And that opened the conversation to this, to that, to missionary work. And we sat there at the table in my bookstore quite a while. Who was working? God. Was it work? sovereignly, absolutely sovereignly. God rules over all things. All things belong to his kingdom. He reigns everywhere. He rules all and everything. And as we progress this morning, and I'm not sure how far we'll get, I want us to see that's the God that David calls out to. That's the God that we were praying to a few moments ago. The Bible speaks a lot of the nature of God's sovereign rule. And I want us to get your Bibles open to Psalm 93. And we're going to go to Psalm 93, Psalm 97, Psalm 99. So Psalm 93, verse 1. What are the first three words? Say them with me. The Lord reigns. Say them again. The Lord reigns. I'll finish. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Thy throne is established from old. Thou art from everlasting. You can write over the top of that, absolutely sovereign. Psalm 97:1. You can look for it. Psalm 97:1. Read the first three words with me again. What are they? The Lord reigns. Makes you want to say amen, doesn't it? Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Dear people, we need to be reminded of this daily. David knew all about it. Third reference is Psalm 99:1. Read out loud with me the first three words. The Lord reigns. Interesting. Are you getting the idea? The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. What's the extent of his rule? You don't need to turn there. But in 1 Chronicles we read, Thine, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, Thine is the dominion. And it goes on. Is there any limit? We have city laws, we have county laws, we have state laws, and we have federal laws. But when you reach the ocean on the other side of California, that's it. That's as far as it goes in terms of our laws. God's law knows no boundaries. He rules. The islands, the continents, the stars, the planets, the depths of the ocean, they're in his hand. And you see, dear people, that's the God that David cries out to and says, uphold me. Uphold me that I may be safe. And I get these communications about our dear people who are suffering danger. And you realize there's no way they can be kept safe, humanly speaking. Only God can do that. His rule involves a lot of things, but one thing that his rule involves is authority. And in a given situation, many times it's important. Who's in authority here? Who's in charge here? Perhaps in a crime situation. Perhaps in an accident situation. Who knows what situations could arise, but many times that's the important question. Who has the authority in this situation to direct what's going on? God is an authority. There's no higher authority. He's an authority. You see, to rule without authority amounts to usurping power. But there's no higher authority than God. Romans tells us that every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. He is absolute authority. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Well, ruling involves not only authority. He rules. Ruling involves power. There must be power to keep those who are being ruled in a state of subjection, to cause them to yield and to submit to the authority of the ruler. God is omnipotent. He has the power to cause the powers of the earth and of hell to bow to him. He has the power to crush them. The Bible speaks of his power. You don't need to turn there. Psalm 66:7. He ruleth by his power forever. Psalm 19:6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I misread that. It's Revelation 19:6. God is actually working all things after the counsel of his own will. Not some, not most, not a lot. A-L-L. Again, what is the extent of God's rule? Heaven and earth, and in all that they contain. In Isaiah we read, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is the place I may rest? The glory of God's kingdom appears more in heaven, but the power of it reaches to the earth. Even hell itself is not exempt. Hell is a proper place for rebels, and God has them there in chains. They refuse to yield obedience, but God keeps them in subjection and demonstrates his sovereign power by executing justice upon them. This is the God to whom David says, uphold me. That I may be safe. God not only rules heaven and earth, but he rules all the parts of heaven and earth. In heaven, all is subjection to it is in subjection to God. We read in Colossians, for by him all things were created, hath been both in the heavens and upon the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And listen to this, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Amen. What is it keeping one of these planets from running out of control and hitting 14 others and knocking them out of control and absolute planetary chaos? Why doesn't that happen? God has them in his hand. Uphold me that I may be safe. No one could do that like God. His rule extends to the sea. God's rule is over great things, but over small things as well. Nothing is exempted from the rule of God. Matthew, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Uphold me that I may be safe. And the one who feeds the birds can uphold you and keep you safe. God rules over all actions. Acts tells us, for in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said. It's in him that we live and move. Move, that word conveys to us our actions of walking. Who controls that? Who controls every step of Nicodemus on his way down to see Christ that night? Remember the time when Paul was in a shipwreck? And they thought they were going to all drown? Do you remember what Paul said? Paul said, therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from the head of any of you shall perish. Who's in control? And what does he control? Every hair of your head. And how could Paul make such a wild statement? Because Paul knew God is in control, right down to the hair. Uphold me that I may be safe. You remember the Old Testament account of the arrow shot at random? Oh, really? Shot at random? It killed the king of Israel. And by the way, who was in control of that arrow? God. Uphold me, that I may be safe. God rules over actions. He rules over events. This means that men's intentions and actions can never result in what they have planned unless it is in accordance with God's sovereign will and purpose. Don't go around saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. James says, God willing. God willing. Because if God isn't willing, it's not going to happen. God controls circumstances surrounding each event. God sent Abigail to the right place at the right time to intervene and to prevent David from destroying Nabal's family. And David said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you. God rules over both the means and the end. God does not depend upon means in order to accomplish his purpose. But when he is pleased to use means, it is evident that he rules over and rules to bring about his will. Someone has well said, and I use this in a line of defense on one occasion, God is glorified when he uses means to accomplish his purpose. He is more glorified when he uses no means, and most glorified when he uses contrary means. God can make use of strange and unusual means to accomplish his purpose, as well as the usual and ordinary. He sent ravens to feed the prophet Elijah. He sent two bears to destroy those who mocked Elisha. Uphold me, that I may be safe. God rules over not only those things which seem orderly, but also over those things which seem quite confusing. You see, it is difficult to believe that God is in control when things seem to us very confusing and out of order. Think of Joseph and his brothers. Things must have seemed very confusing to Joseph while his brothers were casting him into the pit and subsequently selling him into slavery. What was going on in Joseph's mind? We don't know. But later, Joseph said, God is in control. Didn't seem like it. Didn't look like it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil. But God," two words packed with theology. But God. But God what? But God meant it for good. Didn't look like it. Sure doesn't seem like it. Uphold me, that I may be safe. Those times when Joseph was going through those trials, he didn't know the final outcome. God didn't show him and tell him, "Oh, this is okay, everything's working for good and this is going to be the outcome." No. He was thoroughly convinced that God was in control of all that happened. But many times when we go through much, much less trying situations than that, we seem to take the thought, "Where is God in all of this?" Dear ones, even evil is always subject to the rule of God. God sets the boundary, God sets the limit, and He can cause all things to work together for good. Evil proceeds only as far as God allows it. God restrains the power of evil in many by common grace. He breaks the power of evil in His people by effectual grace. The word of God came to Abimelech. Then God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me." Intervention of God's power. God not only sets the limits and the bounds of evil, He overrules it for good. The apostle recognized that those who crucified Christ were carrying out the eternal purpose of God. Let me read it to you from the scriptures. "For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur." They were carrying out special orders. And if you had walked up to one of those guys crucifying Christ and said, "Is God making you do this?" they would have laughed. You know what they would have told you? "No way. This is our thing." Really? Paul was a man that was afflicted, tried, here's what Paul says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing," a little word, "knowing, that tribulation brings about perseverance." But that's not all of the story. He says perseverance brings about proven character. And he says proven character brings about hope. That's very practical theology that we need to know. God rules over what we often hear called Mother Nature. In Jeremiah we read, when he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouse. Hey, who's in control here? God rules over all men, birth, every day of their life until death, and the timing of their death, the manner of their death. He can control what's going on in your heart and life, and does so right up until the time, if you're one of the elect, that he effectually calls you to himself. And you will walk through a brick wall to get to him, if necessary. One Puritan writer puts it this way: no heart so obstinate but he can bend it. None so fast closed but he can open it. None so frozen but he can melt it. The will, that impious faculty, that will stand out when the whole man besides is conquered. He can subdue at his pleasure and make it run into a ready compliance with his own will. And that happens to men who have committed some of the most horrible crimes you can think of. And God has saved them. Uphold me, that I may be safe. We're just taking a good look at his credentials. Recently I had some flooring put down in my kitchen, and I happened to know the man who owns the store. It was a few steps down from my bookstore. And when I was making arrangements to get the flooring installed and all of that, the owner of the store told me, he said, yeah, George is going to do that installation. He said, he's been doing it for me for 30 years. That's his credentials. A man who's been laying floor for 30 years. And what we're doing this morning, right out of God's Word, we're looking at God's credentials. God rules irresistibly. Turn with me to Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I've spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. Look at these words. I have planned it, surely I will do it. No question. No doubt. It'll be done. Why? Because God is in control. Because God is absolutely sovereign. All he has to do is will it. It's done. Now, do you see why David directs his prayer to God? Uphold means to support in times of need and distress, dear people. We need support, various kinds of support, physical, material, spiritual. David knew God. Paul knew something of that too. I can do all things through Christ, through Him, who strengthens me. There's the upholding. Where did it come from for David? God. Where did it come from for Paul? God. Finally, I want to call your attention to David's supreme concern. Go back to our text. Psalm 119, verse 117. Our text, uphold me that I may be safe. That I may have regard for thy statutes continually. What was David's real concern? Beyond being kept upheld and being kept safe, so that I can go out and have a big party in my kingdom. That I may have regard for thy statutes continually. That was the real reason. What a noble reason. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we look to you now. For you to bless your word to our hearts and lives. We need to be upheld. We need to be strengthened. We need to be kept by your grace at all times. But ultimately, may it be for the purpose of keeping your statutes. For our good. For your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.